This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jules Serkin.
Notice another burger chain opening up as well. The Five Guys, that's an American one, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Is opening a new branch in Kent. It's going to be in the Tunbridge Wells, Mount Pleasant area, and it joins 136 restaurants across the country. So we've got quite a few See, this gets my goat a bit, Paul Andrews, because, as you know, I love an independent.
Mm.
And can the small independents afford the business rates in the high streets and things nowadays? They can't, can they?
No.
So are we just going to be eating an amorphous sort of thing, same thing in every town?
Well, only if you choose to. I mean, this is the thing, isn't it? Is that it is a choice. You don't have to eat this stuff.
No, you don't. But if we're losing our independent pubs, and we, you know me, I love a free house.
Mm.
If we're losing our independent restaurants because people can't afford to run them and pay the rates and the electric and the stuff and the national insurance and everything else.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. But most of these places are takeaway places, and restaurants aren't normally takeaway places.
No, okay, so they're takeaways.
I mean, because our fish and chip shops will survive, and
although I did read,
and our traditional British Chinese restaurants and curry houses.
I did read that the
all of which are independents, by the way.
Yeah, little Greek people sometimes with fish and chips.
Yeah,
quite a lot of Greeks. I did read, Paul Andrews, that the old cod and chips is going up by a pound.
Blimey.
Yeah, it's going back. I do love fish and chips, and we're very lucky to have it, you know, where I live in Whitstable.
So just to challenge you on that, so we do have literally thousands and thousands and thousands of small independent takeaway businesses.
Takeaways, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like Mustafa's Tenterton Grill.
Well, yeah, give him another mention.
My kebab shop in Tenterton High Street.
That's 3 weeks running.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's worth every penny.
Yeah. Does he do little dips and things?
Yes, I mean, they do a range of things there. Yeah. It's not just kebabs.
They do like a baba ganoushi thing, or that's more Arabic, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah, but they do pizzas and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, well, continental then.
Amanda, a few weeks ago, had a grilled sea bass from there.
Really?
Yeah, takeaway grilled sea bass.
Wow, well, that's healthy.
Yeah,
that is really nice. Did she enjoy it?
We didn't stay with that long. It was far too healthy.
Yeah, I do love a bit of sea bass. Of course, fishing and stuff is, you know, it's a lot of work for everybody and all the fishermen. But anyway, so I'm not I mean, I haven't been in a McDonald's for years, but I do feel sad when I come out in the morning about 8 o'clock. I drive by and the queue for breakfast is literally round the whole roundabout, blocking up the roundabout. And I think, just boil an egg, please. It takes 3 minutes. You know me with my little boiled egg that I normally have.
Yeah.
It really doesn't take very long.
It's convenience food, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But it's also mindless eating, because you see them, they'll sit and they'll ram it down and then they just chuck the package out. And, and not everybody, but, you know.
We've had a tweet from Paragon Drones.
Oh, have we? Are they droning at the moment?
Yeah, they say, Vanilla Web, Jules Serkin, hi, Paul and Jules. We would love a mention, please. Both guests involved in communications means another show full of great advice, and they love a cheesy tune.
They do indeed.
Yeah.
And did you know that there's a major new salad farm, and it's coming to Kent?
Yeah.
So we've gone from burgers, now we've gone to salad. Yeah. And of course, you can have a salad with your burger or your Turkish meal.
Or your kebab. I always have salad and chili sauce.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I have a little mix. They do a coleslaw as well. But I've trained my new husband to make coleslaw, so we do that at home. Yeah, that's very good. Major new salad farm is coming to Kent as part of one of the firm's £100 million investment to transform British food production. UK-based Grow Up Farms is to create what's known as a vertical farm at the Discovery Park in Sandwich. We need to go and visit this, Paul Andrews, with our mics, creating 40 jobs in the process. This is brilliant news. Vertical farms, can you guess what they are?
Go upwards.
They do. That's where crops are grown on stacked layers, which allow the use of what park chiefs describe as game-changing technology. It will grow restaurant-quality leafy greens that stay fresh for longer. That worries me. How do they stay fresh for longer? What do they put on them? It will join nearby Thanet Earth, which covers 22... 220 acres of land in Birchington in growing salads on an industrial scale and stocking supermarket shelves all year round. Well, we certainly need sustainability. So I'm all for that. But I would like to know why, what they're going to use to keep it fresh longer. Because I always worry about that. You know, when you buy bread from a supermarket and it's never goes off, does it? You can chip away at it.
Mine does.
Does it?
Yeah. It's always got mould on it.
That's very good for you, though, isn't it? A little bit of penicillin. I mean, it saves going to the doctor.
It saves putting cheese on, doesn't it?
Exactly. Especially blue cheese.
Yeah.
In fact, what was I doing the other day? I was doing a lovely roasted cauliflower, Paul Andrews.
I like cauliflower.
Yeah, and I put, I roast it. I mix some ras el hanout with some live yogurt.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah. And I got the yogurt out, and I don't really eat a lot of dairy, but the new husband does. So I buy him this really nice natural live yogurt. And I noticed that he wasn't eating it very much. So he'd opened it probably a couple of weeks ago, and I whiffed it before us. I'd give it a niff.
Just scoop the penicillin off the top.
Yeah. And it did smell a bit cheesy, to be honest. But I dipped my finger in and it was definitely cheesy. But I thought it'd be fine. It's going in the oven. It's got ras el hanout on it. It'll be fine. You know, all the spices. And we're still alive. And that was Sunday. So, you know, and not even a tummy ache or anything. So, you know, but but I don't tell him these things.
No, he's only just found out.
Yeah.
Lisa Settle just followed up with a tweet.
Oh, yeah.
And she said, did you know that the city of Salisbury, in Wiltshire, is the pilot location for the full fibre programme. It will be one of the best connected places in the UK. Now, there's the thing.
Well, we'll all move there. Salisbury. Yeah. Isn't that where that Russian got poisoned on a bench?
It was. Yeah, it was. All happens in Salisbury.
Yeah, exactly.
My nan used to live in Salisbury.
Well, there you are. She probably started it all up.
Probably, yeah.
She might have done it.
And the Business Diaries has said, we'd love a shout out on International Women's Day, please, Jules and Paul. We've got some great stories from a host of interesting women. Linda Garcia is our latest for Luxi Consulting. Tune into the Business Diaries podcast on Apple, Spotify or Podbean.
We've read old Martin Reeves one, haven't we?
I'm
just scrolling, so they're all coming back.
Okay.
And you read out Mike Payne's, but I'm just going to read his email because he's so lovely, or his marketingfundamentals.com, and he helps B2B business leaders with content strategy and creation. Also, he tweets crypto investment news, very interesting. UK and internationally, and you can find him on Linktree as well. He's just there as the Mike Pitt, P-I-T-T. So we've given him a good, he's a good egg, old Mike Pitt.
He is.
No doubt he'll come on again.
Absolutely. The Southeastern Construction Awards 2022, sponsored by All Health Matters. One of the best things you can do for your business. The businesses that will always stand out are those that have award-winning next to their name. So awards celebrate hard work and success and a good PR opportunities. The Southeast Construction Awards are free to enter, and you can enter as many categories as you wish. And these are the categories: Women in Construction, Best Construction Project, Best Architectural Design, Construction Contractor, Best Supplier and Best Apprentice. Entering the awards is free, quick and simple, and is done by going to www.constructionexpoawards.co.uk. constructionexpoawards.co.uk. And the closing deadline is a long way off. It's Friday the 2nd of September.
Lovely one. And there are 80 new eco-friendly homes, and they're destined for empty land on the Romney Marsh. Now, when they say empty land, Paul Andrews, that can make me a bit uppity, as you know. So do you know what this empty land is?
Most of Romney Marsh is empty, isn't it?
It's marsh.
It is marshland, yeah.
Okay, so could they not grow anything or graze sheep on it and things?
Well, they probably do, but they've got 4 million sheep already, haven't they?
Well, we're very famous. Yeah, I've got a whole lamb in my freezer.
Have you?
Yeah, I did. Did you see my lamb casserole?
I bet it's cold, isn't it?
it is now. Yeah,
let me out.
He's all chunked up. He's all chunked up, bless him. But did you see my lamb casserole I did?
I did.
So that was my meal prep. I've got it again tonight. So it was a heart. I don't really know what it is because they don't label it. I just get the whole thing in bags. So I popped a heart in, and that's lovely. and I think it was a bit of neck or something. It was absolutely delicious. And I did that with some Cape Malay and sloshed some red wine in, onions, garlic, carrots.
I'm not going to fall for this. I'm not going to ask you what you're talking about with all these bloody Cape Malay and Derek, whatever it was you had earlier, Russell Hobbs, whatever it was.
Well, you should be interested.
No, I'm trying to move on. I've got something to do here. I've got another guest to talk to.
Yeah, your Cape Malay is obviously from South Africa.
I've met her loads of times, yeah.
It's a lovely spice. Yeah. You know our friends Debbie and Graham Green?
Yeah.
I gave him some Cape Malay and he said, oh, geez, that's quite nice, that, Jules. Yeah, I like that.
He's from Holland, is he? Yeah.
Do you want to introduce the next guest then? You seem to be champing at the bit.
Well, that would be right. Yeah, well, I'm conscious of the time and we've got a lot to cover. And
it's only you and me in the studio.
I know, but we
rattle on for hours now.
But we've got a really interesting guest and I'm keen for you to listen to her.
I would love to.
She's very passionate about what she does. It's a pleasure to hear from Orla Kelly. Orla is based over there in Cork, in the Republic of Ireland, and she's a business publisher. Let's hear what she has to say.
I thought it was Orla Keely for a start, at the beginning. I thought it was Orla Keely, you know, the designer. She's also...
Oh, right.
Well, I reckon they know each other.
Could be the same person. Yeah. Anyway, thank you for that.
Yeah.
Let's listen to Orla.
Are you going
to
play it?
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show for the very first time, all the way from the Republic of Ireland, I believe based in Cork, the lovely Orla Kelly. Orla is an author and business book publisher. Orla, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show.
Good afternoon, Paul, and thank you so much for having me on your show.
It's an absolute pleasure. We love talking to people from over there in Ireland. Lots of things going on. I was saying to my partner the other night, you and I were introduced by the lovely Sam Kelly, affectionately known as the Tweeting Goddess. I've known Sam for a number of years, and I was a big fan. Sam used to do a TV show on Sky called... I think Wixford Matters or something like that. And I used to regularly watch that. I thought it was a fantastic little program. And I missed that since they took it off air.
It's all about connections with people, really, isn't it? Because we can all do a similar type of job, but people want to work with people. And really, most of my jobs come from people talking to me, listening to my voice. A lot of people want to go on Zoom to see me, to look me in the eye, to see my facial expressions when they're asking me questions. And I think it's building connections is what it's all about, because I can do a job, so can the next person, but it's all about what makes you different and people want to see who they can work with.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. You're absolutely right. Right. I'll tell you what, Orla, why don't you start off by telling our listeners a little bit about you, and then we'll move on to what it is you do and how you do it.
Yeah, no, thank you. I suppose I've actually come from a scientific technical background. I worked as an environmental consultant for 14 years and I did my master's actually in Birmingham in the UK. Loved it, absolutely loved it there. And do you know, I was working away in consultancy, but then my son, when he was just under 2 years old, became ill and I needed to give up work to look after him. And then I had a little girl and the whole economy in Ireland changed. So really, I did need to stay at home. But I was always one for figuring out. I was never one for sitting down doing nothing. I was always teaching myself how to do new things. And it's so funny, when I worked in consultancy, the technical analytical side of my brain was all I knew. But when I had kids, suddenly the creative side of me, I needed to tell stories to children. I needed to play jigsaws. I needed to get into their world.
Yeah.
And really, I stumbled into writing purely by accident when my son one night said, Mom, you know, can you write us a story? Because we had no library books left to read them. So I said, yeah, of course, we'll go to bed now and I'll do it. And then suddenly I realized, oh, my goodness, I promised them I'd write them a story. How can I do this? And I sat down and as a mother, I kind of stepped into, well, what little imaginative story can I bring to their world? But we'll teach them things that they won't listen to me just as mom.
Yeah, sure.
And I found I actually loved writing. And every night I would read them in an installment. And then they said to me one night, my daughter was young as well, and said, Mom, can you ever put that printed out for me? And I said, you know what? The messages I have in this story are not just applicable for my kids. They're applicable for all kids. But teaching morals and life skills and little empowerment messages, but seen through the lives of little forest animals. who all did their own thing till they were forced to come together and work as a team. And I found I got such a kick out of doing it that then I said, well, why am I just printing it out? Why don't I teach myself how to publish? And I actually taught myself how to publish and print it out.
Wow.
And I also taught myself how to put it up on Amazon. And, you know, it was a turning point for me because I wasn't working. I was just doing this for my kids. Said it to somebody who happens to be at a networking event and said, you know, there's an entrepreneur program coming up. You could turn that into a business idea, publishing books for other people. I went along. It was a Dragon's Den style interview panel. I was very, very nervous, but I got a place on the course, which taught me, it didn't teach me how to publish books, but it taught me how to actually structure it in a package that could actually be a tangible business. And then Orla Kelly Publishing was born.
Fantastic. Back in 2014. I absolutely adore that story because it touches every touch point that I've ever talked about. I do a lot of work in schools over here in the UK, talking about work and careers and all kinds of things. And one of the things that drives me bonkers, I don't expect you to comment one way or the other on this, but it drives me bonkers is when people say you ought to do what you love, because so many people, especially young people, don't know what they love yet. They haven't experienced anything. you know, so if you go do what you love, that's why most young people go, well, I'm going to be a professional footballer or I'm going to be a singer, because they don't know anything else and they just fancy that. What I love about your story is it was entirely accidental. Yeah, you were asked to do something, you thought, oh, okay, I'll do this, and all of a sudden you went, wow, I really enjoyed that, I'm going to do more of that. And I think that's the reality of how most people find their mojo, that somewhere along the line they do something, it attracts them in some way or another, and then they grow it from there. And I absolutely love your story, and you're absolutely right, life is about storytelling, isn't it? When you think about it, life, business, kids, it's always about telling a story of one kind or another. You know, just before we came on air, we were discussing my deep and dark relatives who are from the same place as you, count from Cork in Ireland there, and I was talking about my maternal great-grandmother who was I told you a quick story about it. That, you know, that's how we communicate, isn't it, in stories and anecdotes and experiences. And I love that. So yeah. I'm assuming when you wrote your children a book, you didn't write it about environmental science.
No. and you know what, it's something I almost find now that they're older. I mean, my son now is 17 and my daughter's 15. Like, I think it's still important. Okay, but when it comes to publishing books, it's quite technical and analytical. But I also need to ensure that the creative side of me doesn't ever fade, because the creative side of me is what allows me to dream, to think big, but to also to help my clients who need more expansive thinking for their particular project. So it's not all just down to the nitty-gritty technical, because I'm not a robot and neither is my client, you know? So I think the way I like to see myself working with my clients is we're a team. You know, there's no hierarchy there. We are a team. I have their back. And I think we all need somebody who has our back when it comes to publishing. I would not put something out there that I think isn't going to portray the client in the best possible way, that isn't good enough. It just won't work. If I think the cover's not going to work or the title, I have to say it, because I would be doing them a disservice, you know, and I think people respect that now, because nobody wants a people pleaser. People want to know that you're kind of protected when it comes to publishing as well, you know.
Yeah, so I mean, for a lot of us, me, it's a complete no-no, but for a lot of us, writing's hard. I can't write to save my life. It's just not me at all. I'm a talker, not a writer. But for those people that want to write or feel the push to write or have an interesting story to tell, it can be quite hard work, the writing process, can't it? So you're absolutely right. What you don't want is someone to say, well, look, you know, write a book about that. Oh, yeah, no, that's really good. Yeah. You know, and they may have spent a year working on a book, and the reality is it's rubbish and no one's going to read it.
It is, and it's a process, because writing a book is not just a case of word counting, getting words down. Not. You're coming at it totally. Like, I actually have a process, and like I say, there's a number of things you need to ask yourself and define And even for people who have something written, now to go back and say, okay, well, what is the theme for my work? What tone am I trying to portray here? You know, what's the purpose of the book? Okay. And what position will the book take? And the position really involves everything from, you know, targeting the book to the right target audience, having your cover aligned with what other covers are in the genre of the book, keywords, relevancy. There's a huge amount. But a lot of people just literally think it's a brain dump. It's not a brain dump. A brain dump is the initial stage where you're putting ideas on paper.
Yeah.
But if it's not resonating with who your target audience is, and if you haven't defined who your target audience is, you're shooting in the dark. You're starting, you know, on the back foot, and it's going to be an uphill struggle from there. Your right. message isn't going to hit who it's need to hit. It's not going to resonate. They're not going to have any aha or takeaway moments, and they're not going to want to engage or follow through with connecting with you to maybe work with you either.
Absolutely. Just as an example, if I came to you and I said, hey, look, Orla, I've got something I want to talk about in terms of a business book. Is it something that you would help me through the writing process? So I might tell you the outline of my story. You know, this is what I want to put across. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is your role then as part editor, part producer? So would you sit with me and go, well, you've got to make this flow. You've got to decide whether you're writing this in the first person or the third person, or, mm-hmm. you know, as a detached story, or, you know, is that what you do?
It's actually what I'm really starting to do now, particularly with business clients. I like up in 2014, I published everything: poetry, children's books, fiction, nonfiction. I mean, I've published about 150 books in over 30 different genres of book.
Okay? Really? Wow. Okay.
Yeah, mad. And now a number of them did become bestsellers and win awards, but that's not what's important. It's not. People lose sight on why they're writing the book in the first place. And really, I don't do, and it's only in the last month that I said, no, do you know what, going forward, I need to go follow my passion. I'm telling everyone else, follow their passion. Yeah. Yes, publishing books is my passion, but helping people publish books to grow their business is my bigger passion. And right. that's what fires me up. That's where I can offer most value and insight. And yes, I do, because it's a lot harder to retrofit a book that's been done but not being done the right way,
sure.
than to ensure that the person has it structured correctly, so they're writing with clarity and focus and purpose, and then their book will be absolutely the best book for them and their business.
Right. Okay. It's a fascinating business, isn't it? The book business, because so many authors don't actually make a lot of money at it. I think I read somewhere once that the average author, you know, prolific author, will make about £4,000 a year at the most. Yeah. And then, of course, at the other end of the scale, you have your J.K. Rowlings that make billions, or, you know, Patricia Cornwall, or any number of well-known authors. But I like what you said, because I think for a lot of people, it isn't about making money. It isn't necessarily about becoming a bestseller. It's about getting their story down and out into the public, and having people read it.
Yeah, and actually, business books really need to be approached completely different than your standard book that you put up there on Amazon, where you're hoping to reach people that way. And unfortunately, you're competing against thousands and thousands of books being uploaded every day.
Yeah.
With probably sponsorship around them to get them to page one so people would buy them. That really, if you're a business person, I think you need to be more savvy than just do that. A lot of business authors now I'm working with are actually controlling their book completely, selling it on their website as a lead magnet, or even offering a shorter version as a giveaway, because they're not looking at the you know, how many pounds they can make in profit from a book sale. It's being used as a resource and a tool to actually warm their target audience to them, so that they're actually then, when they reach out to them, that they know, but the know, like, and trust factor is built up there. So really, it should always be done in an authentic way of delivering value and service, and never in an egotistical way. And it really is not the dollar value associated with any book sale, but it's actually from the revenue that it will generate from leads and from prospects coming to you and working with you in your business where you can charge a lot more.
Right, absolutely. I mean, I totally agree with what you were saying there. A friend of mine, Neville Gaunt, recently published a book. I was just trying to look up exactly what the title is because it's quite a long title. It's Everything You Never Learned at School But Should Have. And he published that himself, and he gives it away as a free download. And he does it from his website and his social accounts and stuff like that, because he wants to talk about it. It's something that he's passionate about, and he wants as many people as possible to hear it. He doesn't want people to have to buy it or whatever. He just wants people to hear his story. So you're absolutely right. With things like business books and informational books, I mean, on the radio website, we have a blog section. We've got about 3,000 blogs. And you could say they were all micro novels, really, you know, because they're all how to do things, why to do things, and pieces that people find useful as bits of information. There's a huge demand for that kind of knowledge as well.
There is, and I know myself, I have bought books, and suddenly I find myself subscribing to their mailing list almost automatically because I might be reading something in the chapter and there might be a reminder in there. By the way, if you found the above interesting, would you like to subscribe to my mailing list where you will get these delivered directly into your inbox? And I find myself automatically doing it. Whereas if I just went to a website and a pop-up box came to me, I'd kind of go, oh, no, no, because I don't know anything about the person. And then once they're on your mailing list, you can just continue engaging with them then as well, you know. And if you have other books coming out, you can offer them. A lot of people now are just really either giving away their business books or selling them low cost as lead magnets to pre-qualify people. But also, I suppose some of my authors, what they're using their books for is when they give keynote speaking engagements, you know, they either give away copies of the audience. They find it's more value and more to them than a business card, which can get lost. And no one's going to throw away a book. I know all my books I've bought. Sure, people can borrow them from me, but I kind of want them back because if I bought them for a purpose. So no one is going to bin a book. And if you're a business author and suddenly you're handing a book to someone that you would love to do business with, suddenly you're going, wow, you're up there in their estimation because you have done this, and 99% of people who may have similar services to you haven't.
Yeah, absolutely. Funny enough, I used to work as an international speaker on the speaking circuit, but I'm rubbish at writing. But I had favourite books, and I used to buy the books by the crate. So I'd buy 200 copies of a book and give them out when I went to do a talk somewhere. Because they were the essence of what I was talking about. There was one particular book that I was a big fan of called Play to Your Strengths. So it was an easy thing to go and do a talk somewhere and then go, well, look, read this book because that goes into it in much more depth. I think you're absolutely right. You know, if you've written a book yourself, it's a great way of publicising what you're doing, bringing your story out and getting it disseminated. And I guess that's what we're really after with business books. Yeah. We're kind of coming to the end of the interview, Orla. I just want to ask you some general questions. You've published, what was it, 150 books now?
Over that. I never actually counted. It's only when somebody asked me recently and I couldn't answer them. And they said, seriously, you don't know how many you've published?
Right.
And I was kind of going, yeah, because it's not a numbers game. It's all about value. And I see each client as an individual, you know. And then they said, yeah, but how many genres? It sounds like a lot. And then I actually went back and I looked and I went, wow, you know, it kind of blew my socks away when I came back.
I'm going to ask you a question now, and you can punch me virtually because you won't like this. What's your favorite book? What's the favorite book that you've published?
Oh, that I've published? Yeah. Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness.
I'll let you off, or your favourite book.
Do you know what? Yeah, my goodness, there's so many books. You see, what I love is I have a favourite children's book. I have a favourite.
Yeah, sure.
There's so many. I couldn't even, obviously, I prefer some books more than others, but actually, I read an awful lot of what I call professional development books. And one book I'm reading at the moment is Lead the Field.
Right, okay.
By Earl Nightingale. I just find that very good. I like a lot of his stuff. I try not to read it at night time because I need to wind down. And when you're reading stuff like that, it gets you, fired up.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my, you know, go-to. And I'm in a reading group in the morning from 6:30 to 7 every morning with a few other girls.
Right.
And we're reading Dr. Joe Dispenza, Being Supernatural, at the moment.
Okay.
And we have read, I do a lot of work. I've done the Thinking Into Results program with Bob Proctor. So I'm big into, I suppose, bringing out what I have. Instead of me learning new things, it's bringing out this kind of inner knowledge, and which I think it's like an inner knowledge and knowing that we all have, but we don't tap into enough.
Right.
And the only times I've ever made mistakes in personal life and professional life was when I didn't follow my gut.
Right.
And I am following my gut from now on. Absolutely. Cool. And it has never let me down.
Good. Ola, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. You're so passionate about what you do, and that is so invigorating for us to listen to your passion about it. I almost want to go and write a book now, but give us a shout out for your website so that people can come and find out more about what you do, the books you publish, and how you work.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I suppose my flagship website, and which is also my publishing label is Orla Kelly Publishing.
Right.
And so my website is orlakellypublishing.com. But that has everything in it. That has all of my books and my testimonials. My total business book publishing one is literally businessbookpublishing.com. It's a very different type of book. It's the same me. It's the same passion. It's the same Orla. But it's me taking my business in a different direction,
sure,
but bringing the full passion and skills along with me.
We'll put both of those websites up on the radio website
so
people can find them. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. Enjoy the rest of your day, Orla, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. Thank you, Paul.
The fantastic Orla Kelly there, Business Book Publishing. And Orla Kelly Publishing.
Yeah, good one for International Women's Day as well.
It was fantastic. I absolutely adored that interview. Orla's so passionate about what she does. And it's a really fascinating thing, isn't it? I mean, so many people have it. You were talking earlier about the book of the lady that that grew up in Rhodesia in Zimbabwe.
Yeah. Alexander Fuller.
That's him. You know, it people have experiences, and you know, if you can get someone to help you edit and publish your experiences, it can be fascinating stuff. You know, writing a book isn't just always about writing fiction.
No, exactly. Life. Well, I'm watching Adam Kay, I think it is, who is on the telly with This Is Gonna Hurt, with my favourite actor, one of my favourite actors, Ben Whishaw.
Mm.
I think it's Whishaw, you say it. And he was in a very British scandal, or very English scandal, with the Jeremy Thorpe
thing.
And he's a brilliant actor. I love him. He's very sensitive and very real. And this is the true biography of an A&E doctor.
I did see one episode of that.
Yeah. Well, I watched the first one and found it a bit gory and wasn't sure, but I pursued it and I've watched all of them now, and it's very, very good. Mm. And, you know, it really highlights the stress that these doctors are under. Mm. So, yeah, worth watching. And he's a really, really great British actor. But we love a story, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Like all us.
Yeah.
You know, and if you get something that's written beautifully, it's just, you know, when I finish a good book, I'm bereft. I think, oh no, what am I going to do now?
I know.
I do love
feeling.
A book.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I prefer a real book to a Kindle, although I've got Kindle.
Oh, I read all of mine on a Kindle.
Do you? See, yeah. I prefer a real book. I like to curl up and, you know, I like to have a little bookmark and things.
You can curl up with a Kindle.
Yeah, I know. But it's not quite the same. A Kindle and a curly whirly, that's what I like. I was reading about these 80 new eco-friendly homes, but I didn't really get onto it with Romney Marsh. I'm just going to tell the listener, because they're these modular homes, Paul Andrews.
They build off-site, don't they?
Yeah, and I've watched this happen. Somebody knocked down a bungalow where we were, and we watched it all going up. And they're like the Hoff houses, aren't they?
Yeah.
And very, very good. They're very eco-friendly. They're quicker to build and low in costs, say the developers. And if planning permission goes through, the scheme plans to deliver 80 affordable homes for shared ownership and social rent. And there'll be a range of 2, 3, and 4-bed homes. The shared ownership kind of, it's like the right to buy or the help to buy. When I looked at that, or we looked at it with our youngest,
It's not a great scheme.
It isn't. No. It's all for new build as well, whereas I love to do up an older house. And also, I don't think the government are going to lose out, do you, when it comes to the term is, 10 years or however?
I mean, it's indicative of what the problem is, because you're paying partially a mortgage and partially rent.
Yeah.
So you're not, it's not cheaper.
No.
Yeah. So basically, the only reason you can't get a full mortgage is because they won't give you a mortgage, but they're still taking the money off. I just don't understand why we have to go through this nonsense with these type of nonsense schemes. Why can't we do something about making it easier for young people to buy a house?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we have the problem with the price of housing, but, you know, otherwise, why don't we just...
Well, now the work from home, not everyone, but a lot of people can move somewhere a little bit cheaper, like Rutland. You know, when I went camping in Rutland, it was absolutely beautiful there, and no traffic, and great food, great pubs.
But you're asking young people to move to the middle of nowhere. And that's the problem,
isn't
it?
They want to be in London, I get that.
They want to be close to their friends or where they've grown up or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's a problem. Anyway, do you know what we're going to do now before we run out of time?
Tell me.
With the uninterrupted FSB news.
I was going to tell you about my organic dandelion root tea.
Well, you can in a minute.
It's ghastly.
Oh, is it?
But I have one a day.
Okay. Why?
But it's no good after a bourbon cream.
No.
Or bourbon cream. What do you call them? Bourbon. Bourbon or bourbon?
Bourbon.
Okay.
Bourbon's a drink.
Yeah, I could do with one now. I'm so cold.
Oh, sure. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
I won't interrupt.
The Federation of Small Businesses News Roundup. Offering advice and guidance for small businesses and the self-employed.
As always with the FSB News Roundup, I'm going to give you a number of events that are taking place over the coming weeks. And then at the end, I'll give you a link where you can find out more details about all of them and book your free tickets, should you so wish. There's the South of England Women in Enterprise Virtual Networking on Thursday, the 10th of March at 11 a.m. Also on the 10th of March at 11 a.m. is the Busy Persons Toolkit. If you want some tips, hints and techniques to help you cope with the stresses and strains of running your business. On Wednesday the 16th of March is the Access to Finance in the Southeast. This is for members and non-members. Also on the 10th of March, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. is High 3 Network. Are you innovation ready? Networking and discussion. This is a physical event rather than a virtual event. FSB and Canterbury Christchurch University invite businesses to this in-person event to find out about Canterbury Christchurch University and the High 3 Network Hub, the new high-speed network and studios that will support innovation in the creative industries. On Wednesday the 16th of March, Let's Talk Technical, 10 a.m. to 11:15. During this session, we'll be exploring how businesses can prepare for the next generation of energy sources. On the 23rd of March is Securing Finance to Set Up or Scale Up. That's 23rd of March, 1 p.m. And then Thursday the 31st of March, 11 a.m. to 12 noon, Ethnic Minority Led Business Networking. And this happens on the last Thursday of each month, and we bring you a brand new free to attend virtual networking for ethnic minority FSB members and non-members. It's hosted by Jason Roberts and founder and CEO of Collider International. On the 18th of March, Kent Member Showcase is taking place at McNaid's in Faversham. An in-person business discussion and networking, so it's another real event, person-to-person event, for FSB members in Kent and Medway. Stefano Cuomo from McNaid will give a short talk about the McNaid business journey, providing key business tips and tricks. Thursday the 10th of March, property and construction event, health and safety responsibilities for developers and contractors, hosted by Peter Searle, a four-part series of property and construction events. That's Thursday the 10th of March at 8 a.m. And on Wednesday the 30th of March at 11 a.m. to 12 noon, What to Do If Running Your Business Feels Hard. Join FSB and inspirational coach Jim Hughes for this unmissable virtual webinar. On Tuesday the 22nd of March, helping business owners to support their elderly parents. This webinar will explain how FSB Care and Pod Plan can help you discover resources to resolve your concerns, providing information about services such as social care, home care and other benefits. And then Monday, the 4th of April, 11 a.m, Leading Change. Leading Change is the fourth in our series of post-lockdown leadership events with FSB member Stuart Maddox. So that are all the events taking place over the next few weeks. If you want to find out more detail about any of them or to book a place on any of them, if you go to kempbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB, you can find them all there. And that is the news roundup for the FSB for another week.
And a popular village pub is set to reopen after being closed for 18 months. To the relief of many, oh yes, this is one of my haunts, the Tyler's Kiln in Tyler Road. Yeah, love it.
Yep.
We had some really nice meals there, very reasonably priced. Again, it's a free house, I believe, run by two gentlemen, as far as I know. Alistair Collins, and let's read what's happening to them. So the Tyler's Kiln in Tyler Hill near Canterbury has been shut since November 2020, sparking speculation it would be sold. But bosses have confirmed the pub is reopening later this week, with the business having been taken over by Sturry Fine Dining restaurant Cafton House, also another haunt that I go with Serenity Becker to. Very good food. The owner, Alistair Collins, who lives in the village, brought the Tyler's Kiln in 2012 before launching in 2015 following a major refurbishment. It's since been a key hub of the village, with Alistair keen to ensure it serves the community. Yeah, it was making me sad because of the pandemic, when it's been so difficult, and then staff and things, and the curtains were all closed as I drove by and the car park was empty, so I was worrying. So that's really good news. Welcome back, you guys. Since it's open, Rock Salt Restaurant and the Bar has become an iconic landmark and a symbol of the ongoing regeneration of Folkestone Harbour. Now, a decade after it helped put the town on the foodie map, the kitchen is beginning a new chapter under the guidance of head chef Scott Dineen. Should be Dineen, shouldn't it, really?
Should be, really.
It's D-I-N-E-E-N, Scott Dineen, I'll call him. Welcome back, because I heard there was a bit of a kerfuffle about that. With the chef owner leaving. So I shall look forward to going to Rock. So I do like Folkestone. Have you been lately, Paul?
I haven't been for a couple of months, no.
Oh, a couple of months? So quite recently.
And that's not true, actually. I was there about 3 weeks ago.
Okay, and where did you go?
I went to look at a house.
Oh, did you eat there? Or?
No. It was empty.
Are you moving?
No.
Oh, I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
I like to mince down the creative quarter, which is really
very
clever,
nice.
Isn't
yeah,
it? The weather.
Yeah.
And there's a very nice Italian restaurant there just at the beginning on the right, and they allow doglets.
Well, did they?
So we took our doglet in, and she said, she was quite new, we hadn't had her long, and the waitress said, is she all right with food? And I said, yeah, she's fine. So she plonked the meatballs down, the Italian meatballs, and of course Darcy's head is quite tall, and she went to swipe them all. So we've since said, no, she's not all right, don't put it on the table yet till we've got her harnessed. Kent Cricket's chief executive, is that Simon Storey?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to discuss how sport can help create cultural identity when he addresses delegates at this year's Kent and Medway Business Summit next month. So Simon Storey, who says clubs generate some 12 million for the regional economy, will also debate the importance of placemaking before an audience of 300 people at the event, which is being held at the University of Kent's Canterbury campus on Wednesday, April the 27th.
I can tell you some more about that.
Go on then.
Googly. The eagerly anticipated Kent and Medway Business Summit has been secured with another key sponsor for the event in April. For the second year running, it has agreed a partnership with the British Business Bank. The one-day networking event is organised by the Kent Business School at the University of Kent, bringing together some 300 businesses, key policymakers and leading academics. The bank will join headline sponsors Creston Reeves and Thompson Snell and Passmore in supporting the summit, which takes place at the University of Canterbury campus on Wednesday the 27th of April. And of course, Simon Shorey will be one of the speakers.
Fantastic. And there's a city council ban on taxis polluting the district streets that could see hundreds forced off the road this summer. The local authority is phasing out diesel and petrol vehicles as it strives towards having only electric cabs by 2030. But the next step of the plan is causing most concern and has left drivers in the Canterbury district fearing for their livelihoods. Because from August, the authority will refuse to license any taxi failing to meet the latest emission standards known as Euro 6. and the rules, which are set to be enforced this August, will affect all Euro 5 vehicles, which are predominantly petrol and diesel cabs registered before 2015. Well, Paul Andrews, this is so difficult. These cab drivers are often trying to pay for their cars that they've got on hire.
This is more Canterbury Council virtue signalling.
Crazy.
For absolutely no thought about anything they do other than looking clever.
Yeah.
Yeah. How does an independent taxi driver suddenly buy a new taxi?
They can't. Yeah. I know so many of them that really struggled during the pandemic when people weren't going.
I would also like Canterbury City Council to walk me round all the charging points they've got in Canterbury. It won't take long because there aren't any.
No, I know. And also, it's really difficult to get a cab. If you go, you know, they have this. When I moved from London, I was always shocked, but a lot of children get taxis to school.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know if it's some benefit or something, but they get driven to school by taxi drivers. If you try and get a taxi around 2 o'clock, or you can't get one for love and money in Canterbury or Whitstable because they're all doing school runs. That's crazy. There's people trying to earn a living.
Mm.
And what they're going to do?
Absolutely.
Go on the dole. Do you call it the dole anymore? I don't know.
Universal credit.
Something.
Yeah. Gravesham Business Awards. The Gravesham Business Awards have been launched. Awards including Business of the Year, Employer of the Year, Environmental Award and Bar of the Year. The closing date for your application is the 15th of April. You can find out all the categories, what it's all about and how to apply by going to gravesham.businessawards.co.uk/entry form. That's gravesham.businessawards.co.uk/entry form.
We've got the amazing Marsh Networking, which is, let's see what the next one is, and I will read out the website so you can check that out. The next one is 10:30 a.m. on the 16th of March, and the speaker is Heather Petty. Is that Utility Warehouse, I believe? It says UW, so I'm guessing it's that.
Yeah.
I'm with Utility Warehouse, been with them for years. I couldn't stay with them for the old... I'm still with Vodafone for the old signal.
Right.
I did go with Tesco O2, and we just... My phone, I just wasn't getting my messages.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I think it's Utility Warehouse, Heather Petty, and she's going to talk about the ever-increasing cost of energy. And then on the 30th of March, also at 10:30, is the speaker Neil Casson from Diamond Accounts, who will update us on tax and changes for the new tax year. For finding out more, please go to marshnetwork.co.uk. There's no joining or membership fees, and they say you're all welcome. Just pay as you go, and your fee includes a charity donation. You can contact Terry on @TerryBotty. BOTTY, if you want to on Twitter, but also go to that marshnetwork.co.uk.
Fantastic, thank you. I'd like to personally invite you to join me on a stunning Leeds castle in Kent on the 12th of May for the best night's sleep you'll ever have, because it will directly help us to change somebody's life. This is from Keith Mabbott. 12th of May, Leeds Castle, Kent. The last 2 years have been tough for us all, but imagine if you had no home, no bed, no food and nowhere you felt safe. As the cost of living rises, we need to make sure everyone has a safe and secure roof over their heads. So this is the Great Sleep Out with Keith Mabbott and the team from Street Soccer. If you want to find out more about it, or you'd like to register to take part in the Sleep Out at Leeds Castle, if you email Chloe Seymour, fundraising manager. I haven't got the exact link here for the email, but it will be at streetsoccer.co.uk, I guess. Chloe Seymour.
I haven't got anything to read.
Have you not?
What's that lot on there?
They're the ones I've already done.
Oh, have you? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, carry on.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind of you. We're almost at the end of the show anyway.
I know. Well, I'm quite diligent, as you know. I whisk through them.
You do, yeah. We can't get a word in edgeways while you're whisking. The Kent Business Awards applications are now open for the Ashford, Canterbury, Maidstone and Tunbridge Wells Business Awards. Each of these awards has the following categories: customer service, innovation, startup, small business, businesswoman of the year, best family business and best construction business. If you'd like to find out more about them, all of them can be found at www.businessawardskent.co.uk. And finally, anyone interested in opportunities to do business with Maidstone Borough Council is being encouraged to register for alerts on the Kent Business Portal. The council would like any local businesses, big and small, to bid for their contracts. By registering on the e-tendering platform, businesses can take part in up-and-coming and future tenders. Councillor Martin Round, Chair of the Economic Regeneration and Leisure Committee at Maidstone Council, said it's completely free to register and there's no obligation to take part in the tenders. You can pick any opportunities that suit you. It's a great way for any business to look for potential work, and the portal includes opportunities across the whole of Kent. To register, simply visit www.kentbusinessportal.org.uk and select the supplier registration option from the grey box. They say for anyone needing more information on how to get involved in the process, the procurement team are always available to discuss this with you and to discuss it with potential suppliers, and will be more than happy to advise you on the processes. If you'd like to know more, you can email them at procurement@maidstone.gov.uk, or in fact you could call them on 01892 554425. That's 01892 554425. There you go.
Yeah,
we're nearly there.
Well, we are. I know, and I'm very upset because I didn't bring my boiled egg in today to eat on
my
journey home.
Why didn't you bring your boiled egg?
I don't know. I normally put it in a little old glass jar and munch it on my way home, and I forgot this morning. I have promised my new husband I'm going to make more pancakes this week, because when we had them on Pancake Day, Shrove Tuesday, they were so delicious that we had the bacon ones, as you know.
Yeah.
But we still haven't had the lemon ones, you know, lemon and sugar. So right. I'm going to make some of those this week.
Fantastic. I just want to give another shout out for this. I did do it last week, but I want to do it again. If you're making podcasts or putting mixtapes together or anything like that, and you want a professional audio job done, then my mate Gav Paws, who is a qualified audio engineer and has over 15 years experience of mastering DJ mixes and podcasts, is available to help you, with prices starting at £15.
Amazing.
Yeah. So there's lots more to find out. The best way to do that is to go to his website, which is Pause Radio, P-A-U-Z-E, pauseradio.com/DJ Mix Podcast Mastering.
Sound is so important.
Yeah. Or you can drop in an email at djpause@googlemail.com. He's a fantastically talented guy. Do check it out. If you want your podcast to sound professional, so many podcasts sound that you
tinny.
Recorded them in a dustbin.
Yeah, and yeah. Then it's very stressful to try and listen to it, I found. Yeah. In fact, I was listening to GB News on my drive in, and it's quite clunky, some of it, I have to say.
It is. Yeah. Right, we've reached the end of another show.
We've done it all on our own and no guests in the studio.
Yeah. So
and some very old biscuits.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. We'll be back with another show next week.
We'd love to hear from you.
We would. Stay safe, everybody, and we'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.